The Front Page Podcast, named one of iTunes' best in 2010.
On Thursday's Front Page, President Obama used a memorial service for the Arizona shooting victims to call for a new era of civility. In Lebanon, Hezbollah cabinet ministers and their allies resigned. That brought down Lebanon's unity government after a period of relative calm. And Detroit is bouncing back, and workers are getting profit-sharing checks. At Ford, the payouts could top $5,000 apiece. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. President Obama offered the nation's condolences at a memorial service for the people killed in the Arizona shooting rampage. He said the tragedy should prompt Americans to usher in a new era of civility.
None of us can know exactly what triggered this vicious attack. None of us can know with any certainty what might have stopped these shots from being fired, or what thoughts lurked in the inner recesses of a violent man's mind. Yes, we have to examine all the facts behind this tragedy. We cannot and will not be passive in the face of such violence. We should be willing to challenge old assumptions in order to lessen the prospects of such violence in the future. But what we cannot do is use this tragedy as one more occasion to turn on each other. That we cannot do.
In the crowd listening to the president were Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who's from Arizona, along with Senators John McCain and John Kyle, and Governor Jan Brewer, who are all Republicans. The president spoke after stopping at the bedside of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. He said she opened her eyes for the first time. Documents released by the community college that suspect Jared Loughner attended show officials believed he had a drug problem or was mentally ill. Internal reports describe bizarre classroom disruptions that unnerved instructors and fellow students. The college suspended him after he posted a video on YouTube that said the school was involved in genocide and the torture of students. Also in Thursday's Times, Hezbollah and its allies forced the collapse of the government in Lebanon. That deepened the crisis over a UN-backed tribunal investigating the assassination of former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri. The government dissolved when 11 of the 30 cabinet ministers announced their resignations. They wanted an emergency session to oppose the tribunal, which is expected to indict members of Hezbollah. 10 of the 11 announced their resignations just as the current prime minister was meeting with President Obama at the White House. For blue-collar workers at Ford and GM, the auto industry's surprising turnaround is about to pay off. Later this month, the two car makers will send out profit-sharing checks for workers. The payouts will probably be the biggest in 10 years. Workers at Ford could get $5,000 apiece. This comes as the car companies are preparing to negotiate new labor contracts. The early indications are this year will be different from past years. The focus on both sides may be on staying competitive. Inside Thursday's Times, Sarah Palin broke her silence and denounced her critics in a video message about the Arizona shootings. She also touched off something of a backlash when she used an emotionally laden phrase.
Journalists and pundits should not manufacture a blood libel that serves only to incite the very hatred and violence that they purport to condemn. That is reprehensible.
The phrase blood libel has its roots in medieval anti-Semitism. It's not clear whether Ms. Palin knew that. But Times reporter Jim Rutenberg says the video dominated the political landscape for nearly 12 hours.
I think we're seeing the kind of branded Sarah Palin that we've always known, and that's a very talk radio friendly Sarah Palin. It's someone who knows how to get a ton of attention. And so she delivered sort of a stemwinder in its way. Her address started out speaking about unity, speaking about the strength of the country and its political dialogue. But if you look farther down in the speech, it very quickly became a very defensive-seeming address.
Times reporter Jim Rutenberg. Russian investigators concluded the pilot in the plane crash that killed Poland's president and 95 others last year was under pressure to land in bad weather. That's shifting blame away from the cockpit crew and putting some responsibility onto Polish leaders. The investigators say President Lech Kaczynski and the commander of Poland's Air Force went into the cockpit, distracting the pilot. The investigators say the two officials had been drinking. Vice President Joseph Biden is in Pakistan for talks with top leaders. It's Biden's first trip there as vice president. The trip is aimed at signaling high-level concern. Biden also wants to signal that the U.S. commitment hasn't changed since the death of Special Envoy Richard Holbrooke last month. In Shanghai, the government tore down a prominent artist studio. Ai Weiwei is an outspoken critic of the Communist Party. He says his studio was raised on orders from government officials. He says they'd told him it was going to happen, but he says they'd promised the wrecking crew wouldn't come until after the first day of the Chinese New Year next month. Here in New York, the 41-story former Deutsche Bank building opposite the World Trade Center site is now the one-story former Deutsche Bank building. It's being demolished. It'll be gone within a month. It's the last and largest remnant of 9/11 to be cleared away. In all, tearing it down has cost $160 million. That's our preview of Thursday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.